Let's take our Bibles this morning, and we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, and we're just kind of using this. We read the passage, using it as a kind of a springboard to talk about a subject this morning. So in Matthew chapter 4, about a year ago in November, the New Yorker magazine interviewed, he's the oldest justice on the Supreme Court, Justice Scalia. Justice Scalia is 78 years old now. In my opinion, they should put an age limit. I'm wondering at what age. I know some of you, maybe you're at 80 or 80 plus, and I'm just sorry. I'm thinking the same of you too. I really wouldn't want you to be a Supreme Court justice either. And you're probably thinking, here's Justice Scalia. And I know he's a conservative man, but it's just at some point, I'm wondering if that's a wise thing to do, determine all the laws, you know, and interpret the laws of the nation when you're having a hard time with your, you know, some of the main functions of life. But anyways, Justice Scalia, they were talking to him, interviewing him, and the interviewer said, "Hey, do you believe in heaven and hell?" And Justice Scalia said, "Oh, of course I do. Don't you believe in heaven and hell?" The interviewer said, "Well, no." And Justice Scalia said, "Well, oh my, I can't believe that." And the interviewer said, "Does that mean I'm not going?" Justice Scalia said, "Unfortunately not." He says, "Wait a minute, the interviewer, you mean I'm not going to heaven or hell?" And Justice Scalia said, "It doesn't mean you're not going to hell just because you don't believe in it. Everyone is going to one place or the other." But Justice Scalia is Catholic, and as they were talking later on, Justice Scalia leaned over towards the interviewer and said, in a whisper, he said, "And by the way, I also believe in the devil." And the interviewer said, "You're kidding, you do?" And he said, "Of course, he's a real person. Hey, come on. Everybody, or most people in America believe that." And he says, "You mean every Catholic believe that? There's a wide variety of Catholics out there." Then the interviewer said, "Well, have you seen evidence of the devil lately?" And he says, "You know, it's curious. In the Gospels," and this is Justice Scalia here, "in the Gospels, the devil is doing all sorts of things. He's making pigs run off of cliffs. He's possessing people and whatnot. And that doesn't happen much anymore. And the interviewer said, "Well, no, it doesn't. I haven't seen pigs run off of cliffs too much." And Justice Scalia said, "Well, it's because he's smart." And he said, "So what is he doing now?" Justice Scalia answered and said, "Well, what he's doing now is getting people not to believe in the devil or in God. He's much more successful that way." The interviewer said, "Well, that's really a painful implication of atheist. Are you sure that's the devil's work?" "Well, I agreed with it. I believe that is the devil's work, is having a bunch of atheists." But he said, "I didn't say atheists are the devil's work." He said that, and he continued on, "but it certainly favors the devil's desire." I mean, come on, that's the explanation for why there's not a whole lot of belief in the devil and in God today. Because if the devil can get them to believe that there's neither one, he's accomplished a lot. The reason I start out with this, this interview, is because this morning we're going to look at the topic, what the Bible has to say about the devil. What the Bible has to say about the devil. On April 3rd, 1965, legendary radio host Paul Harvey issued a warning to America. Remember, this is 1965, so almost 50 years ago. I think it's 49 years ago. In this warning, he detailed what he thought the devil should do if he wanted to destroy America. All right, this is 1965. All right, so think about it. This is what he said. "If I were the devil," I mean, if I were the prince of darkness, "I would, of course, want to engulf the whole earth in darkness. I would have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I would not be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. So I should set about, however necessary, to take over the United States. I would begin with a campaign of whispers, with the wisdom of a serpent. I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve, do as you please. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper, the Bible's a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of God creating man. I would confide that what is bad is good and what is good is square. In the ears of the young marrieds, I'd whisper that work is debasing, that cocktail parties are good for you. I would caution them not to be extreme in religion and in patriotism and in moral conduct. And the old, I would teach to pray. I would teach them to say after me, Our Father, which art in Washington. If I were the devil, I would educate authors in how to make lurid literature, exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and dirtier things. And then, if I were the devil, I'd get organized. I'd infiltrate unions and urge more loafing and less work, because idle hands usually do my best work. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction, and I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to redefine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Let those run wild. I would designate an atheist to front for me, because the highest courts in the land would be represented by this atheist, and I would get preachers to say that, you know what, that atheist just may be right. With flattering promises of power, I would get the courts to rule what I would construe going against God and in favor of pornography, and thus I would evict God from the courthouses, then from the schoolhouses, and then from the houses of Congress, and then in his own churches. I would substitute psychology for religion. I would deify science. That way men would become smart enough to create super weapons, but not wise enough to control them. If I were Satan, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg, and the symbol of Christmas a jolly old man. If I were the devil, I would take from those who have, and I would give to those who wanted, until I'd killed the incentive of the ambitious. And then my police state would force everybody back to work. And then I could separate families, putting children in uniform, women in coal mines, and objectors in slave camps. In other words, if I were Satan, I'd just keep on doing what I'm doing. 1965. It's pretty scary, isn't it? Because 49 years later, he's still doing what he was doing. When people ask and they say, oh, I don't think there's a devil. Oh, I think the devil's got you. I think the devil has convinced you already. I think he's winning a good war. Because if you don't think there's a devil, you should ask my boys. Because I think he was at my house yesterday. And I had to beat the devil out. Because the devil shows up in our houses. He shows up in our church. He shows up all over the place. You know, the devil's a real person. Matthew chapter 4, we're going to look at this text. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. And notice, he was to be tempted of the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. When the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, this is Jesus, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Heavenly Father, this morning, as we look at this idea of the Bible and what it says about the devil, help us not to come with our preconceived notions of what we maybe learned in school, maybe what we read in some book. Help us to understand that the Bible gives us the instruction. The Bible is clear on the devil and that he's a real person. Lord, most of us have had attacks by the devil, and the devil maybe this morning has brought somebody in and he doesn't want them to listen because the devil wants them not to hear that they can be freed. That, Lord, you can save them. The devil wants us to keep us hopeless and helpless. Lord, this morning we would ask that you would give freedom, do what I can't, and that is to speak to hearts. Holy Spirit, we claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. Many years ago, there was a special that was running, and they were talking about the Battle of the Bulge. Battle of the Bulge was in 1944. It was in autumn, and Germany, and this is during World War II, Germany had been beaten back pretty stoutly. It had been pushed back to its borders. The Nazi war machine was in tatters. Repeated bombing raids of the Allies all but had assured that Hitler's forces would never rise again. Around the perimeter of Germany's borders, the Allies spread a thin line of forces. One person observed that the Allied forces were so scattered that a man could slip between its lines without even being observed. All across Europe, there was celebration, there was parties, there was just speeches, all rejoicing that Germany was defeated. The war was over. The only problem was that somebody forgot to tell Germany about this. They forgot to tell Hitler. Even as Hitler's forces were being shattered and driven back, Hitler was devising a plan for one last onslaught. Underground factories churned out more weapons, armaments, and ammunition. More of Germany's young and more of the old men were conscripted and trained for war. And as Europe rejoiced, Hitler was planning, and his goal was not to drive back the Allies into the sea as much as it was Hitler wanted to divide Britain and the North and South Americans that had come to help. So demoralizing them that they would sue for peace on his terms. And what happened is while they were celebrating and they were rejoicing at the Battle of the Bulge, hundreds of thousands of men died. Why? Because the enemy was still alive. The devil wants you to think, the devil wants me to think that he is not for real and that he's defeated and that, man, you know what? He can't touch you. And I can tell you this morning, even as a Christian, the devil wants to attack you. The devil wants to pull you down. The devil does not want you successful as a Christian. And if you are unsaved sitting here this morning, the devil wants to convince you that today, just put it off. Don't get saved. You got tomorrow. You got another day. And that has been the devil's lie from the beginning. Just put it off. You can do that tomorrow. Procrastinate. And hundreds of thousands of the devil's own have died and are in hell because they thought they had one more day. And there are many Christians that walk around maimed, that walk around with maybe crippled spiritually because they thought that the devil wasn't a real enemy. This morning, we're going to look at the idea of what the Bible has to say about the devil. And some of you, you could be a young person, you could be an older person, you could be a young couple. I don't know your age, but I'm telling you this morning, pay attention, because the devil's real. First, we're going to look at the origin of the devil. In the Bible, I'll read a couple passages. Some of them you can turn to, you may just jot them down. But in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, this is what the Bible says. For by him, and this is talking about Jesus, for by him, for by Jesus Christ were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. Visible. Now notice what he says, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Now we can go to another passage in the Old Testament, Ezekiel chapter 28. And in Ezekiel chapter 28, the Bible tells us a little more about Satan. In this passage, you'll see it uses the term the king of Tyre. And it's using that pictorially. There was literally a king of Tyre, but it's also using it to refer to Satan, the devil. It says in verse 6, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast set thine heart as the heart of God. This is the devil. Behold, therefore, I will bring strangers upon thee, the terrible of the nations, and they shall draw their swords against the beauty of thy wisdom, and they shall defile thy brightness. Noah's down in verse 11 says, moreover, the Lord, word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. This is why we think it's talking about Satan. Notice verse 13. Thou hast been in Eden. Now, obviously, the king of Tyre was not in Eden. Okay? So it's a reference to Satan here in Ezekiel 28:13. Notice what it says about him. He was in the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day. Notice what it says here. In the day that thou wast, what's the word? Created. We believe that the devil, and I believe biblically this is true, the devil was a created being by God. He was a creating. So the origin of the devil is that he was created by God. When you look in Isaiah chapter 14 and you read about the devil, we believe there must have been something. Even in here it talks about his pipes. We believe some that it was talking about musically. We believe those that have studied the Bible and looked at it theologically, we believe that it may be that Satan was created to bring glory and honor and praise to God in heaven. He was a created angel, created to bring glory and honor to heaven. And that's why, guess what? Even today, one of the strongest things that the devil uses, guess what it is? Music. Some of you listen to the devil's music. Oh, you jive, you jam, and you think that, man, that is, it's all flesh. And you know it because sit down there in front of MTV. Sit down there in some of these music videos. And I challenge you to get down on your knees and try to pray during that. Oh, you know. You'd say, oh, that's so silly. No, I'm saying you're stupid. And you can like it or lump it, but I'm saying you like the devil. I don't like him. I think he's a jerk. I think he's an idiot. I think he wants you, if you're unsaved, to stay that way. And as a friend, I'm telling you that you're listening to the devil and he's going to send you to an awful place called hell. That's the devil you serve. And some of you as Christians, you come in here Sunday morning, you open up your Bible, and then you go your own way, and the rest of the week, you just fall in line following your old master. I don't understand it. I don't want anything to do with the devil. I don't want him in my house. I don't want him in our church. I don't want him near me. Because why? Because the devil betrayed my God. The origin of the devil is that he was a created being. He was created to give honor and glory to God. And he betrayed our God. And he was kicked out of heaven. That's when you study the Bible in Ezekiel and in Isaiah, what you'll find is that he was cast out of there. And later on, during the creation, we see that the devil, and it kind of is fitting for the devil, isn't it? That he's a serpent slithering along. Now, most people believe that after the fall, probably the serpent was made to slither. Most people believe that the serpent that came to Eve was actually attractive. You know, a lot of times you see that picture and he's wrapped around a tree and it looks like a nasty looking snake. Now, you and I both know, like, what's up with Eve? Like, oh, look at that pretty little snakey. And you're like, oh, there's something. Well, most people believe biblically that the serpent was very appealing, very eye-catching. And that one of the curses for the serpent itself was that he had to slither on the ground the rest of his life. Now, that could be conjecture, but I kind of like it because that's what I think of the devil. He's a snake in the grass, and that's where he belongs. He belongs withering around in some dirt in the mud. And some of you think it's cute, think it's funny. You think it's okay to have a pal that you call the devil. It may not be that you think that the devil, you say, no, that's not my friend, but no, the devil can be transformed, the Bible says in Corinthians, to an angel of light. And he sits down to you and he says, hey, you know what? That church, they're just a little harsh. You know what? I have read the scriptures. Did you notice that the devil, he can quote scripture? We'll see that in our second point. And our second point, we see that the first thing is the origin of the devil, and you see that he was a created being. The second thing is that we're going to look at the personality of the devil. What is the personality of the devil? In Isaiah chapter 14, it says, Lucifer, son of the morning. That's what he's called. It sees him as a fallen angel. Verses 13 and 14, I'm going to read them in Isaiah chapter 14. It says in verse 13, for thou hast said in thine heart. So this gives us an understanding. We're looking into the heart of Satan here. What is his heart like? Listen to what it's like. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now, it shouldn't be. We're a very educated crowd here this morning. Tell me what the devil is filled with. Himself. Did you notice 5 different times? It's what's in his heart. I. And this is why some of us don't understand the devil's characteristics and the devil's traits, his devil's personality. The devil wants you filled with yourself. He has tried to do that from the beginning, and he hasn't stopped doing that. And so when he gets you consumed with yourself, what you're finding is that you're falling into the trap of the devil. What's part of his personality? Part of the personality of the devil. And I'm telling you this because the devil is a real person. You can't get away from it from the Bible. The devil is a real person. I believe he lives and he breathes. Now, I don't believe that he's omnipresent. I don't believe that he's omniscient. I don't believe that he can be everywhere at the same time. But it almost can seem like it. Why? Because he's got a lot of people that work for him. Some of them work in Hollywood. Oh, he's got a whole bunch that work in politics. Oh, man, we're not going to stop there, but he's got a whole bunch of them. In fact, I was telling some people on this week, either Thursday or Friday, I looked it up this way. And some of you, this is going to shock you, because some of you have been duped by the devil and you've been duped by the devil's minions. Because guess what? I found the originator of Planned Parenthood. Listen to this. The originator, her name is Margaret Sanger. She started Planned Parenthood. This is what she said. These are quotes from Margaret Sanger. She said, "We should apply a stern and rigid policy of sterilization and segregation to that grade of population whose progeny is tainted and whose inheritance is such that its objectionable traits may be transmitted to offspring." What does that sound like? Man, that sure sounds like Hitler to me. Listen to this. Here's Plant. All right, this is the originator of Planned Parenthood. This was quoted. This is, she wrote a book, Woman, Morality, and Birth Control, in 1922. This is the starter of Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger. This is what she said. "We need to hire 3 or 4 black ministers, preferably with social service backgrounds and with engaging personalities. The most successful education approach to the black people is through a religious appeal. We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the black population." Hello? And guess what some of you back? You back the people that want to eradicate you. And guess, you want to tell me there's no devil? You want to tell me, because some of you sitting here have been duped for years. Because the devil is a real person. Oh, he doesn't want you to be educated. He doesn't want you to think. Man, that's the devil. Devil's a wicked person. That's his personality. The personality is that he wants to come in and take over, and he wants you filled with yourself. How dare that church tell me what to do? And so instead, you line up and let the government tell you. Oh, you're a smart person, aren't you? You say, man, that's pretty hard. Yeah, but the devil speaks harder. Devil's got you bound, lock, stock, and barrel. He's got you shackled. And whatever he tells you to do, you fall in line and do it. Even so much that the starting of Planned Parenthood, you say, what are they trying to do there, those Christians? What we're trying to do is stop some wicked people from killing our people in our country. Some of you, you hear the devil whisper to you, oh, man, I don't know. That seems kind of hard. All they have is the Bible. I mean, they have all these studies. Yeah. And they got all these people that have fallen along with them, like Hitler and Stalin. And now you have all kinds of politicians that fall right in line with them. Like it or lump it, that's the way it is. And the problem is that God, the Word of God, is truth. It's truth. And the truth, guess what it can do? The truth can set you free. The devil wants you filled with yourself. That's why it wants Planned Parenthood on every corner. Why? Because the devil wants you to say, I have a right to be immoral. I have a right to do what my body wants to do. Go ahead, follow the devil. Follow the devil. See where it gets you. See the origin of the devil. We see where he was created, what he was supposed to do, the personality of the devil. We see it even in our text. Our text tells us that the devil was, or Jesus was led away in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And you'll notice that the devil is very smart, isn't he? Why? Because in verse 2, you see that Jesus was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and it says that he was exhausted. He was tired. Oh, the devil's not going to come to you when you're high on your biblical strength. He's going to come to you when you're just a little bit not strong. Now, the devil, and he's bold. You see the personality? He goes after anybody. I can't imagine the devil going after Christ, but he went after him. Do you think he's not going to go after you? You think he's not going to attack you? He went after Jesus. Oh, he's coming after you. Some of you, he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to waste his time. He's already got you. I don't mind it when the devil comes and attacks. What's discouraging is when we fall. But the devil, you should sometimes want him to come. If he never attacks you, maybe you're on his side. See, the origin of the devil, we see that, the personality of the devil. What about the power of the devil? Though morally fallen, now judged in the cross, Satan has not lost his position according to the Bible. He's not lost his position, and he has not lost much of his power. His personal strength cannot be underestimated. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 2 says that Satan had the power of death. But that power of death in Hebrews chapter 2, it says that it was surrendered and that Jesus came and he conquered he that had the power of death. But it's saying that the devil had the power of death. We see that Peter wanted to follow Jesus Christ, and he said, "Hey, Jesus, I'll go with you even to death." And what do we see? Jesus turn around and say, "Hey, Satan desires to do what? Sift you as wheat." Oh, some of you think you're so strong. "Hey, man, I'm going to do this or that." Well, it's easy to say when the devil's far away. Some of you, when the devil comes, he's going to sift you as wheat. Why? Because you have no biblical strength. Remember in the book of Acts? The book of Acts, it tells us a story of this young person that was filled with demons. And these people got together and they said, "Hey, we're going to cast these demons out." And the demons, that says, this person whipped them around. And it said, "Jesus we know and Paul we know. But who are you?" We need to make sure that we understand the power of the devil. We don't have to be frightened. We don't have to be scared. But you should have a knowledge of the enemy. You should understand that he does desire to sift you as wheat. There's some of you, you just play around. It's almost like you sit and you joke with the devil, not knowing that the devil is just waiting for your back to be turned, and he's going to put a stranglehold on you. Because the devil, oh, he's powerful. Satan does all that he can in his power to keep the unsaved from being saved. The Bible says that he can turn, and we already said it in Corinthians, he can turn himself into an angel of light, and he sits there and says, "No, no, no, look at all the religions in this world. Whether it's some cult or whether it's some silly religion that makes you come down and do all kinds of silly things to get saved." Boy, the devil, he does not want people to find Christ. And he has the power to do it. But what I love about the study of the devil in the Bible is as you look at the origin and you look at the personality and you look at the power, what I love is that the Bible helps us because it tells us about the devil's destiny. The Word of God is explicit in this area. A perfect judgment of Satan has been secured. How? Through Jesus dying on the cross. And when Jesus died on the cross and he said, "It is finished," and then they carried him off to the tomb and they buried him in the tomb, and even the devil was hard at work. I think we can see the devil down there in his corridors, and you can see him leaping. He's calling in his crew. He's saying, "Hey, we've done it. We've succeeded." But then 3 days later, what happened? Jesus isn't there. Soldiers come running in. "Hey, we even put extra guards there." What happened? Because Jesus has the power over Satan. Jesus has the power over Satan. The execution of that sentence is still in the future, but it follows all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, when God came down and he said, "Hey, you know what? You may bruise my heel, but I'm going to bruise your head." And that is the fate of Satan. The destiny of Satan is that he will be defeated. It may not look like it in today's world. You and I know that because, as was mentioned in the testimony, you can get up in the morning and you look at a newspaper and you turn on the radio and, man, something bad is happening and something else bad is happening. You say, "Man, the devil, he sure isn't discouraged." And I don't think so. But I can tell you this, that the devil, through Jesus Christ, can be defeated. Satan will be cast out of heaven in Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 through 12. He's confined to this abyss, making it impossible for him. Finally, Satan in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, it says that Satan will be cast into the lake of fire to be tormented day and night forever. And this is my challenge then to you this morning. As we look at Satan and what the Bible has to say, and it's just a quick overview. What does the Bible have to say about Satan and the devil? That he was created. That he has a personality. That he wants you to be consumed with yourself. That he has power. But more importantly, Satan can be defeated. Have you ever felt like you were in the dark? In November 10th, 1966, it was the largest blackout in the history of America. Basically, all of northeastern USA went completely black. It was over 9 states that went black at one time. The newspapers read this: most traffic signals gave out, intersections were jammed, skyscrapers, elevators were halted between floors. As of midnight, untold numbers were still trapped in the elevators. Operating rooms went dark. Airplanes circled because the landing strips were dark. While most adults were paralyzed, this newspaper found one child who would later write, "It was dark, we had popcorn in the fireplace, and it was fun." You know what the Bible says? The Bible talks about us being in darkness. But according to 1 John 1, it says, "God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." And this is the truth this morning. The devil wants you in darkness. But Jesus Christ is light. Jesus Christ is light. And in him is light. God is light. You do not have to live in darkness. Some of you this morning, it could be in the area of salvation. You came here and you've never been saved and you are in darkness. The devil wants you there. He wants you there. He wants you like the lights going out there in those states. He wants you scared. He wants you trapped. God says, hey, I'm light. And Jesus Christ came, and in Hebrews chapter 2, the Bible says this in Hebrews chapter 2. It says, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, Jesus, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy them, him that had the power of death, that is the devil. This morning, we can introduce you to Jesus Christ. We can't give you salvation, but we can introduce you to the one who defeated the devil. And then as Christians, if you're saved, why do you put the shackles back on? You think that the devil, he's saying, oh, I'm going to give you freedom. Let me ask you this. If you're so free, try to go without it for 1 month. You know it. It's bound you. See, I could always walk back. We could always walk back into a bar. You could walk into a casino. You could walk into whatever, and you could be shackled. I feel sorry for some of you Christians because you think you're free. Try to do without it and see if the devil fights you. Oh, he's going to fight because you've relinquished your freedom to a horrible taskmaster. Devil doesn't like you. Has he treated you all right? Has he given you a good life? Hey, ask the devil if he can offer you salvation. He can't. All he can offer you is a lake of fire. Oh, that sounds really nice. Well, we could make one for you if you want it. Maybe we can do an experiment. We got plenty of extra teenagers. Parents would be willing to drop one off. And we'll just drop them into a lake of fire. I'm pretty sure that that teenager would want out. We may not want him out. But we'd probably say, oh, no, no. Hey, ask the devil, what is he offering you? Then why do you bow down to him? Oh, is he such a good taskmaster? Oh, he's got you fooled. He's come to you in his duds. Remember in Ezekiel, he's come to you all dressed up in his diamonds and his topaz and his emeralds. And he said, hey, look what I can offer you. Remember where he's going to end up. The lake of fire too. And you guys could sit there for eternity, maybe swap some stories. But I'm pretty sure you're going to be a little hot. You're going to be running around screaming like a little mangy. Yeah. The devil doesn't want you to think about that. The devil wants you to think that following Jesus, accepting Jesus Christ, and accepting his freedom is actually bringing bondage. And the devil has duped a lot of people in this world. Because there's a whole bunch of people that after coming to the knowledge of Jesus Christ and finding that Jesus Christ can save their soul, they go back to that old master. And they forsake the one who offered them eternity in heaven. And they forsake the one, Jesus Christ, who said, hey, I'm going to prepare a place for you. What is the devil preparing for you? I know what it is. Guess why? It's in the book. When we find out about the devil, it's not just a silly fairy tale. No, the devil wants you to ignore him. The devil wants you to say, oh, it's not, he's not that bad. Oh, yeah? Ask Adam and Eve. Ask Job. Ask David. Even come to Jesus at the foot of the cross. Oh, that was all the devil's working. The crown of thorns, they beat him until you couldn't even recognize him. The crowd is chanting, crucify him. They put him up on that cross, and he dies there. That was your Savior. The devil did it. And now you're going to follow him? Mm-mm. No, I hate him. I despise him. I'll do anything I can to be against him. And you should want that in your life as a Christian. Do not give him an inch into your life. Because he will shove his way in, and pretty soon you'll be bowing down to him again. Heads bowed, eyes closed here this morning. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Speaking on the devil. And I know in some ways it's just kind of simple. It's just an overview. There's a lot more that can be said about the devil, a lot more that can be studied in the scriptures. But I ask you this morning, first of all, maybe you're here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. This is what the devil wants. The devil wants you to say, tomorrow I'll do it. And tomorrow will come and you won't do it. Don't delay. If you could say this morning, God spoke to my heart, I have never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, or I'm confused in this area of salvation, we could have somebody show you this morning how you could be on your way to heaven. I'm not going to embarrass you, and I would like to pray for you during as we close in the invitation. When I pray for you, it's not getting you saved. I can't get you saved. But I'd like to pray that you would have courage during the invitation to come forward and to ask somebody to show you how to be saved. If you'd say, God spoke to me in this area of salvation, I am not sure of my salvation. Is there anybody like that this morning? And you'd slip up your hand. Is there anybody like that? Anybody? Anywhere. You'd slip up your hand. And you'd say, I am not sure in this. All right, thank you. Anybody else? All right. Anybody else? You'd slip up your hand. You'd say, I'm not sure in this area of salvation. It's a little hard for me to see in the balcony, but if, all right, I see that. Anybody else? You'd slip up your hand. Anybody else? You'd slip up your hand. Now, as a Christian, are you giving place to the devil? The Bible tells us, neither give place to the devil. Are you doing that as a Christian? Don't allow him. Don't make it comfortable for the devil to dwell in your heart. Take up the armament that God has given you. Read Ephesians chapter 6, and what you'll find is God has given you what you need, a shield of faith, a helmet of salvation. He's given you that your feet can be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He's given you a sword. He's given you all this. Take that up and don't let the devil in your life. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for an opportunity to look at Scripture. I pray that you would help this morning, especially those that lifted their hands in this area of salvation. Give them the courage to come down and talk to somebody about this important aspect of salvation. Help those that are Christians that are, Lord, giving place to the devil. I pray that they would make a vow. I pray that they would come and they would determine to fight the devil back. Lord, help us not to give place to him in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Standing with heads bowed and eyes closed.